This is Kyle Keller. You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News.
The year of the Tiger. Still, it's the year of your Hanshin Tigers, which makes this the year of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. And since you're a fan of H10 and the Hanshin Tigers, this is your year too. I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me from Paradise on Earth is Sanjay. How you doing, brada?
Aloha, brada, T-Ray. I'm doing very well, and I am still happy to be a Hanshin Tigers fan in the year of the Tiger.
And how could you not be happy being in Hawaii and being a Hanshin Tigers fan? That's like win, 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 which is kind of what the Tigers have been doing a little bit more of lately. So good for us and good for you.
Long may continue.
Yes, and let it keep going through the second half of the season. Today is June the 27th. This is episode 152 of our pod. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we've got a great show for you as we look back a little bit on the first half of the season and do some, you know, good old teacher stuff. Since T-Ray is a teacher by profession, we're going to be giving out report cards to our guys. Strap in and join us for a great ride. It's time for the rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
Up front and center is actually the topic of our last pod, which was the signing of a new import player. It was made official on the 20th of June. Adrelin Rodriguez signed with the team and will wear number 91. He is expected to be in Japan sometime in early July, which is not too far away, I guess, now. And it's going to be an interesting battle between him and Jeffrey Marte and maybe even Yusuke Oyama for first base. Who is going to get the most playing time there? I wonder, Sanjay.
Well, you know, I don't know anything about A-Rod other than what we've been talking about him on the air over here and what we've read. I hope they give him a fair shake, and I'm looking forward to having him here. I think they were saying even before the All-Star break.
Yes,
like, that's like
right.
Playing before the All-Star break.
Right. Because he's played in AAA this season, he may not need as much conditioning as somebody who had been sitting on the sidelines for all this time. But as they say about the Gaijin players, right? Futa wo akete minai to wakaranai, I think is the
You don't know what you get until you take the lid off.
Yeah. So let's uncork this guy and see what he does. All right. Well, speaking of guys that are competing for time at first base, Marte has finally played down on the farm. He got into some action on Sunday and was a DH for two at-bats. That was the plan, and that's all he got. And he's aiming for a return in July. But also, Hirata, the manager down there, said, look, like, he's already been sidelined twice. One more, any incident that happens, and that could be the end of his season. So we got to really make sure that he is good and ready. We're going to ramp him up nice and slow. And I think he's expected to be with the team in Fukuoka this week for their farm action.
Okay.
Yes. So another guy that actually got promoted to two digits would be our man Shimamoto, a left-handed pitcher out of the bullpen who had Tommy John surgery back in 2020. He was wearing number 69 back in the day. He will wear number 46 now. So he got rid of the 120, and he is eligible to play on the top squad again. Congratulations to Shimamoto.
Welcome back. And I just saw actually today a thing from Shimoyanagi, our crafty lefty old former alumnus, or current alumnus, former player, who said that if they wanted to wait, they could have waited till the end of July. But the fact that they promoted him now means that he might be ready close enough to actually come in right away and make a difference.
That's true, because it is a July 31st deadline to make any roster moves of that nature.
Right.
Now, that move combined with the signing of Rodriguez put our team up to a 70-man roster, which is the absolute limit for players on the active or the eligible or the protected roster list. So what the team did in order to give themselves that little bit of wiggle room just in case is they cut our man Chen. he was put on waivers. I think it was last Monday, which means that he clears waivers today, or maybe it's tomorrow. And what that means then is that he is free to go anywhere that he wants. Nobody else in NPB wanted him, so he is officially released. It's unfortunate. He only got two starts last season and had some shoulder issues and was unable to get himself back into playing shape and back into having the velocity that he once had. And so he is no longer one of these guys that we're hoping is going to, you know, get his shot at the rotation anymore, because he is no longer a Hanshin Tiger. But otsukaresama, and I wish I knew how to say that in his native tongue as well.
Yeah, but really, thanks for your time and effort, and wishing you nothing but the best.
So Chen, in case you all don't know, he played for the Chunichi Dragons for a number of years. Then he went over to the majors and played with the Orioles and Marlins, I believe. Came back, played for the Chiba Lotte Marines for half season, and then joined the Tigers in the 2020 off season. And yeah, he had a pretty hefty price tag on him, but also I think that his contributions went beyond just that one win that he got. He actually was a very good influence on some of the younger pitchers, and just with his level of experience, I mean, it's just really good to have had him on the team. Okay, let's move on. We've got some great news, and that would be that our man Chikamoto is riding, it is in the present continuous tense, riding a 23-game hitting streak right now. So that puts him in what, sixth all-time in team history for Yeah, pretty amazing. The top one in team history, you know it, right?
Our man, the H10's favorite sketto.
Yes, Matt Merton with 30-game hitting streak back in 2011. The NPB record, by the way, is nowhere close to Joe DiMaggio's 58, I think it was that he had. It is 33, and that's held by some guy with the carp. I forgot his exact name, but Yoshi something Takahashi, or I don't
know. Takahashi Yoshihiko, yes.
There you go, Yoshihiko, thank you.
He was with the Tigers for a bit, too.
That's true. That's true. And he's got a YouTube channel, and he does like to talk about the Tigers as well as the Carp, and primarily those teams, but basically anything. Okay. So we're wishing Chikamoto all the best. And as we'll see in the predictions section, we'll see who we've got going for the next four series, because if he's to set this new record for NPB, knock on glass, then we need to know who he's going to be facing. Okay. Let's talk finally about some of our recent call-ups and send-downs. We have called up reliever Saito as well as infielder Obata in recent days. And to compensate or to make up for it, we have sent down Onodera, and Alcantara is going to be getting some rest down on the farm. It's just a move to give him a bit of respite because he's been a busy man. And Takayama also got sent down for a very untimely strikeout a few nights ago.
Yeah.
The last bit of news is Akiyama. No, not our Akiyama. Hiroshima's Akiyama. What? Yes, Shogo Akiyama, former Cebu Lion, former Cincinnati Red, has basically held on to that cap and just brought it to another team that can use it. And so he's going to be wearing that same ugly C on his dome for the next 3 years. It's actually a 3-year contract, and it's worth quite a bit. I don't know where Hiroshima scraped up the money for this, but I love that it was somewhere on a Hanshin Tigers thread somewhere on the interwebs. Somebody said, look, Hiroshima, if you've got enough money to sign that man, why don't you at least get yourselves invested in DAZN so that we can watch your freaking games at home? I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's a very smart jab.
Yes. Go Osaka. All right. Let's take a look at our friends on the farm.
Doing our best on the farm.
So, my man Sanjay, our team on the farm currently has a 34-23-2 record. That is good for first place, just a half game ahead of the Hawks, whom we'll be facing this coming week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that's going to be a test to see how we're doing. Obviously, you know, it's middle season there as well, so it's not like a crucial series or nothing, but it'll just be interesting to see how we do against them. They're always a strong team, and it seems to me like in the last 5, 6, 7 years, the teams that have won the Western League have been basically the Hawks and us.
It's the yellow and black and yellow, or the black and gold, or whatever it is that's working for everybody. Can we give our farm boys a little woohoo or a chee-hoo or something for their where they are now?
Yeehaw! I don't know. Yeah, sure. So they had a 13-game win streak the last time that we talked, and then they lost three straight to the Hawks. Then they started another 6-game streak, but then they lost a couple against the Carp over the weekend. So yeah, they are doing quite well. Here are some of our guys to look out for that are doing well. Takatara is number 2 in average in the Western League. Yokawa is tied for first in home runs. It's only 6, mind you, but still tied for first. Inoue is top in RBI, I think with 30 in the Western League. And my personal pick that I think may get a call up sooner than later would be Toyoda, our number 6, number 7. I don't know. Last year. Yeah. 6th, I think. Yeah, he was the same as Nakano the year before. And we have this tendency to pick, you know, the guys out of Shakaijin baseball, the industrial leagues.
Yeah.
In later rounds, and they end up doing quite well for us. So I'm totally cool with that. Or even just, you know, whether we pick them later or not, like Chikamoto is from there as well, right? Itohara is from the industrial leagues as well. And so we've got all these guys on our roster that are coming in from there. So he could be the next. All right, some good pitchers. Saiki. 6 innings pitched and no runs against on the 17th. And he has got a 1.52 ERA, which is top in the Western League. And he is actually slated to be our starter this coming Sunday against the Chunichi Dragons at Nagoya. So that'll be interesting to see how he does. It'll be his first start since 2019.
Hopefully he has no bad memories of Nagoya, or no memories, period. So then it works in our favor.
Hey, do you remember he was actually, I think, the youngest pitcher in NPB that season, and Matsuzaka was the oldest starter. I don't know. There's something weird, like where Matsuzaka was against him in a game, and Matsuzaka was double his age when they faced each other. And actually, Matsuzaka ended up winning that game. So yeah, I do hope that he can throw that memory out and start afresh. Speaking of fresh, let's take a look at which of our farm guys are going to be in the fresh all-star game, which is the farm all-star game that takes place the day before the top squad and NPB all-star games. We have got pitchers Moriki and Okadome, catcher Fujita, and infielders Endo and Takatera. So we wish them all the best in that game. That's a place for young guys to shine. A lot of the guys that get called to that game and do well in that game end up having themselves some pretty fruitful numbers up on the top squad. So looking forward to seeing how they do in that game.
Go Hanshin Fresh All-Stars.
Before we do some recapping, we need to thank some of our sponsors on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thehanshintigers if you want to join and get the shout out on this podcast, or if you want any other of the benefits that we offer over there on patreon.com. We want to thank the Tokyo Swallows podcast. We haven't heard from them in a long time. Unfortunately, their team is one that just won't stop winning. We'll talk a little bit more about that a bit later on. Thank you also to Anita. Thank you to Zorni on the Koshien Tour, William Schofield on the Koshien Tour. The doors are opening up in Japan. Guys, set up your tickets for Koshien and let's go to a game together. Cannot wait. Ian Hadel on the digital package, Joe out in Wakayama, as well as Jamie Owens, the man behind centralenglishokayama.com. Go check that out for all your English needs. Thank you so much, Patreon sponsors.
Thank you, Patreons. Recap!
So our recaps are a little bit shorter this time around because the last time we talked, we had finished up the interleague schedule, and because there were no rainouts, we had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that week off. So we're going Friday the 17th of June against the Bay Stars at home. We're going up against the man with the most recent no-hitter in NPB at the time. There has been one since. That would be Shota Imanaga of the Bay Stars. I was a little bit worried about this one because he also tends to do quite well at Koshien Stadium. Well, here's the situation. I was actually, and we'll get to this in the post show, but I was being recorded for a television program on this day. And so I went to a local hangout where I could go watch the game. And I came to the restaurant late. I think it was like the third inning. It was already 5-1 for the Tigers when I got there, which was a big surprise. Anyhow, that was thanks to Itohara and Yamamoto with back-to-back 2 RBI hits in the bottom of the first. And then Oyama hit a home run in the bottom of the 4th. I think that's around the time that I got there. But Kamisato hit a 3-run home run in the top of the sixth for them. Oyama answered that with another home run, sizzling Yusuke Oyama, wouldn't you say?
On fire.
Awesome. So that made it 6-4, I believe. Iwasada gave up a run in the top of the seventh, but then Chikamoto with an RBI single in the bottom of the eighth. So we win 7-5 in that one. Let's follow it up on Saturday with T-Ray at Koshien Stadium to take in the Masashi Ito masterpiece. The second pitch of the game, he served up a fat one. They got a home run, and after that, they got zilch. The Tigers came back with a 2-run double from Sato in the bottom of the second. Oyama with another home run, a 2-run home run to dead center in the bottom of the third. And Ito went the distance on just 94 pitches, allowing just 3 hits, including that first home run and also a dribbler of an infield single later in the game. So he was just dominant.
Outstanding. Glad that you were there. I'm suggesting here now that you get a profile picture for Oyama that's like Daimonjiaki with the big, you know, capital O, the kanji O, on fire in Kyoto.
Not a bad idea at all. So we can talk a little bit about that game as well in the post show, because that was rather interesting as well. Anyhow, going for the sweep on Sunday, Father's Day, Junya Nish on the mound. Looking good because he helped himself in the second inning with a 2 RBI double, and Sakamoto followed that with a bloop single. So we got a 3-0 lead. And Junya, by the way, lost his father when he was 14 years old. So he's doing this one for dad. But unfortunately, he had control issues in the top of the third, lost the lead for us. And then Kajiya served up a home run in the top of the sixth. Kind of unusual for him to do that. Itohara tied it with a sac fly in the bottom of the seventh. But then Yuasa, for the first time in what, 16 or 17 games, gave up 3 runs in the top of the eighth. We lost this one 7-4. Kind of a bummer. But, you know, the team had been doing so well. They had been on a 6-game winning streak, and not to say like, well, that's okay that it ended, because, you know, of course everyone wanted it to be 7 or more, but good for them for being on such a great run there for that time. Now, the unfortunate thing is that the bad times came around right after that. We went to Hiroshima. We were winless against Hiroshima on the season. We are winless against Hiroshima on the season still. So that tells you how this series went. Really quick, we lost 5-3 on Tuesday, the 21st. They got a bloop single RBI in the bottom of the first, and they had 5 singles, scoring them a bunch of runs in the bottom of the fifth. That was on Yuki Nishi, by the way. Oyama with another home run in this one, a 2-run home run in the top of the sixth. He also got an RBI single in the top of the ninth. We had a chance. It was 5-3, no outs, runners on first and second. But we didn't even move those runners after that. Really unfortunate. It would have been nice to kick a little bit more dirt on Kuribayashi than just that one run. So the losing streak goes to 2, and let's stretch it to 3 just for kicks or just for stress. Oh my goodness, what a stressful game this was. I actually was not able to watch it, but our Tigers fought back from 0-2, from 2-3. So it was 3-3, went to extra innings. Teru got us an RBI single in the top of the 10th. That was his third RBI of the game. So 3 out of 4 runs came off of his bat. But Alcantara gave up the tying solo home run in the bottom of the 10th. And then he came in for the bottom of the 11th, gave up the walk-off home run to a guy that has no business hitting home runs. But we lost in a heartbreaker 5-4.
Does this have something to do with him being sent down?
I don't think so. Although I think he did get sent down, I think, the very next day. I could be wrong. I think he pitched the next day. He pitched, I think, on the Thursday. And he didn't allow any runs, but it was just really... Actually, we'll talk about that in a second. He did pitch, and it was very close. He was very close to walking this one off as well for us. So we led 2-0 in the Thursday game. Wilkerson struggled in the bottom of the fifth, and that lead was gone. Iwasada gave up a home run in the bottom of the sixth or seventh. I forget which one. And then in the top of the ninth, there's 2 outs and we're down 3-2, and Chikamoto hits an RBI single. So it's our second run of the series against Kuribayashi. These are the only 2 runs he has allowed in Hiroshima in his life. He's only a second year player, but still in this series, we got 2 runs against him, you know, against a guy that had given up 0. Unfortunately, we end up with a tie and a loss in those two games. So it definitely would have been nice if we had tagged him with two losses. But anyhow, the nervous moment, and this is the one that maybe had a lot of people wondering if Alcantara was okay, was that we pretty much gave up the walk-off loss or gave up the walk-off run in the bottom of the 10th when Kikuchi hit a double down the left field line and their pinch runner Nakamura was rounding the bases. He rounded third and about halfway home, it was maybe a little bit less than halfway home, he tripped up. And so the relay throw from Nakano, which was off target, so he might have been safe if he had not tripped up. If the throw had been on target, he would have been out regardless, but the throw was off. And he tripped up, and it was an easy out, so the game remained tied. And that allowed us to preserve the tie. Otherwise, it would have been a clean sweep for the Carp. Nothing to add, because there's nothing good to say about that series. We are now 0-9-2 on the year against the Carp. They are adding Akiyama, Shogo Akiyama, to their lineup. I don't know if that necessarily makes them more dangerous, at least against us, but I personally just think their luck is about to run out, bro. They have won too many games against us this season already, and there's no way that this can keep going. So I really feel like we are going to catch them in the standings. They are going to continue to drop in the standings just as they were doing during Interleague.
Well, the reason I didn't say anything earlier is because last time I said that the math was working in our favor and that they can't just keep winning, and they did. So I was being quiet.
There you go. And yeah, by the way, you had said that we would win 2 out of 3 against the Bay Stars. You were right. You said 2 out of 3 against the Carp. Well, a little bit wrong on that. A little bit wrong on that one. But then you also said, we're going to sweep the Dragons. You darn Spanky, we're going to spank the Dragons, because that's what we did. We beat them. Yeah. On Friday night. It's you die. Oh, no. You die. No, you die. We beat them. Or we beat the bullpen, but we were leading 2-0 thanks to an Aoyagi bases loaded RBI single in the bottom of the second. We lost that lead because they tied it up, I think, the top of the third. Then we led 4-2 thanks to a bases loaded RBI single from Itohara in the bottom of six. We lost that lead. That was also Aoyagi who coughed that one up. And then we got the lead in the bottom of the eighth on an Umeno bases loaded RBI single. Did you catch that? All of our runs came on bases loaded singles. Kind of interesting. We kept this lead though, and Yuasa got his first career win. So it's a good way to snap that ugly 4-game winless streak. But let's find a more impressive way to start a winning streak here, boys. 10-0, my friend, on Saturday. Again, Ito just absolutely smashingly, deliciously awesome in this one. I mean, he did give up a lot of hits, but he gave up no runs. So yeah. You can take that and try to swallow that, Dragons. Let's see. Another pitcher with an RBI hit in this one. That would be Ito, of course. He went 8 innings, so pretty good outing from him. Itohara and Oyama and Ito and Nakano with some early runs. Then Obata with some more runs going on in the 6th inning. So there you go.
This is the one where Obata got the hit and the announcer was like, oh, I'm so glad he got a hit because he was the only starter who hadn't had a hit yet. Something like that.
Including the pitcher. Yeah, he was the last one of our starters to get a hit, but all of them managed to do that. The RBIs were spread out nice and even. And actually, in both of these two games, plus the Sunday game, we didn't hit any home runs. So we don't have a home run actually since Tuesday, that being Oyama. And we don't have a home run from anybody not named Oyama or Sato since May the 17th, my man. And that being that one was hit by Junya Nishi. So it's been a really long time since one of our other position players has hit a jack. So come on, guys. Get with the program. Well, whatever. Let's go on to Sunday. And we got Junya on the mound for this one for a chance to avenge his rather pedestrian previous outing on Sunday. Again, we got 3 quick runs. This was against Yanagi, who was basically the runner-up for the Sawamura Award last year. The first 5 hitters ended up with, 4 of the first 5 got hits. After that, we were pretty quiet. The Dragons tied it in the 4th. They took the lead in the 5th, partially because of an Itohara error. Then they added one in the 7th. So it's 5-3. And it was the silence of the bats from us. So it looked like, oh man, here we go. We blew another Sunday lead, right? We had a chance for a sweep and we blew it. But then in the bottom of the 8th, Nakano going up against a really good Rodriguez that they've got as a reliever, and just a really gritty single through the left side of the infield. A very soft hit ball. Like, I mean, it just found the gap in the infield and just dribbled into the outfield. So two runs scored with Obata sliding head first into home base. It looked really cool. But we go into extras, and none other than Kumagai hit the walk-off single in the bottom of the 11th. So we got the win. It was a thriller. And typical Japanese TV. Yeah. Hoso shuryo! Moshiwaki arimasen! Those announcers lied and said they were sorry, but it was the end of the broadcast. So I didn't get to see it until I watched the highlights. But who cares? Tigers win! Tigers win! Tigers win!
Yes, and I actually got to watch the because I had the cable feed. Ooh. And after the game, Yano was having his interview, and you may or may not know that it was Torako Day, which is the Tigers women fans special rewards day. And so they all got their cool gingham jerseys in the light yellow. And Yano was saying, well, you know that Kumagai is our best looking player on the team. And it got all the Torako ladies very happy that he won the Heroes podium for that game.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. And I mean, this is a kid. So it was his first Heroes podium at home. It was his first walk-off hit as a pro. But I also noticed, I saw this on Twitter, where I've just been way too active lately. But three years back, he actually hit a home run against this same pitcher of the Dragons, Yamamoto, who grew up in Nishinomiya as a Tigers fan. But also, I saw another video of Kumagai with a walk-off hit at Koshien as a high schooler. So, cool. Yeah, so he's got a history of doing some good stuff. And I don't know if this is the start of good things for him, but you'll also recall he was the guy with the magic run a few weeks back where he stole second base, the ball deflected off his helmet, and he ran all the way home for the big win.
There you go. Lucky man.
Yeah, so it's good to have him on the team. All right, well, our Tigers are currently then 34, 38, and 2. We are firmly in fourth place now. It was kind of a flimsy third for a while, but we are now 2.5 games ahead of the Bay Stars and 2 games back of the Carp. So we will be in fourth place for a minimum of 2 more days. But let's hope that after 2 days, we'll be in third and see how she goes.
You're here.
All right. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. It is time for the moment you've all been waiting for, and that would be our hot topic. So as I just mentioned, our record is 34, 38, and 2, meaning that we have played 74 games out of 143, meaning we've got 69 games left on tap. It is roughly the midway point of the season. And our team, remember, was at one point 3-19-1, 16 games below 500. So since then, we have gone 31-19-1.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's really impressive. And in fact, our June record is like just outstanding. Aren't we like 14-5-1 in June?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the bad news is? The freaking Swallows are 16-4 this month.
That's
nobody
nuts.
Else is helping us out. No,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I guess the good news is that since we and the Swallows, and I guess the PL to an extent, have been beating up so much on the other CL teams, that's what's put us into contention for a playoff spot and so on. So I don't know. It feels like, though, our chances at a pennant are pretty much slim to none at this point.
Just looking to play in the postseason.
Yeah, at this point, that's all you can really hope for, and you just never know what's going to happen. The good news, I guess, is that the Swallows are a better team currently on the road than they are at home. So if they are hosting games at Jingu, maybe that's our time to really do some damage. They're also better during the day than at night, and their playoff games would definitely all be at night, I believe. And so that would kind of maybe give us that little opening that we need to get past them. But first, we got to get there. We got to get to the dance first. So let's talk a little bit about team numbers. Currently, our team has scored 275 runs, which is actually good for third in the Central League. Puts us right around the middle of the pack. Surprising because our batting average is last, sixth with 238. We're also just fourth in home runs. And that's partly because, as I mentioned earlier, the only guys producing those were Sato and Oyama, right? We don't have anybody else hitting home runs. Chikamoto with a big zero where he had 10 last season. So I don't know what's going on with him. I know what is going on with him and the other boys, though. We are tops in the Central in stolen bases with 56. So that's a great number right there.
Yeah, we righted the ship after kind of a slow start, if I recall correctly.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, like the very first game of the season, both Chikamoto and Nakano got thrown out by the backup catcher of the Swallows. And then it just felt like maybe they were gun shy, or they just, I don't know what it was, but they just weren't running. And now, yeah, they're running again, which is great. In fact, Nakano had two steals just on Sunday. So good on him. Let's look at some of our overall team numbers then and see how we rate within the Central League. In runs scored, we currently have 253, which unfortunately is only good for fourth place. And we also have to consider that we played 7 games more than the Bay Stars. So probably they will go higher than us in that. We may end up in fifth in that category. However, on the flip side of that, we have only allowed 220 runs against, which is far and away the best in the Central League. So good on us for that. Our batting average, though, is sitting at 238, which is worst in the Central. It's not even really that close to climbing into fifth. I suppose if we go on a real roll here, we could move into fifth or even fourth, but we're a ways away from doing that. Home runs, we got 49, which is fourth in the Central League. We're only ahead of the Dragons and the Carp, believe it or not. And in stolen bases, we've got 56, and that is good for first place. Thanks in large part to our speedy three at the top of the lineup, right? Shimada and Nakano and Chikamoto, not even necessarily in that order.
You got it right.
Yes. As for the opposite side of that, on the defensive end or whatever you want to call it, we are the best with an ERA of 2.75. The next closest is 3.04 for the Yakult Swallows. So quite a big gap there. Good on us in that department. So when it comes to the pitching side of things, though, with strikeouts, we are tops in the Central with 534 Ks. Pretty good stuff. And also our walks rank lowest or fewest with 162. So those two things combined are a big part of why we have got the best ERA and the fewest runs against in the Central League. So good on our pitchers. And you'll see that reflected probably in our report cards. We also have 38 errors on the year, which is fourth in the Central right now. We used to be doing a lot better than that in the error department, but nevertheless, this is still way better than in years past when we were always on pace for like close to 100 and we were worst in the Central by far. But this year, worst in the Central by far, the Giants, 49.
Oh, I feel so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they need to do more practicing. All right. Okay. Now, let's do some report carding then, my friend. We are going to look at this position by position, and within that, we can talk about player by player if we want to, but we are going to get started with our catchers. What is your grade for Mr. Umeno, Sakamoto, and Nagasaka as a team?
As a team, I'm going to have to say we're flirting with B-, C+.
You know what? I think we did this corner last year and you were always a little bit higher than me, and that trend continues. I'm giving them a C-. I say for the defensive side of things, like the game calling and the blocking and the gunning down runners at second, they get a solid A, but their hitting just leaves a ton to be desired. Umeno looks like he's finally turned the corner because he's finally over the Mendoza line. But there was a time when all three of our catchers were sitting well below that, like in the 170s or under. And Sakamoto and Nagasaka still need to pull up them bootstraps and get things going. We need to get some more RBIs, some more offense out of that bottom part of our order. Otherwise, we are basically a 7-man lineup.
I do agree with that. I guess my question was, how much of that is to be laid at the feet of the players themselves versus the management that's picking them to play in those situations?
So that we'll get to the manager and coach's report card part soon. So then we can definitely see where we stand on that and what we believe. But I still just think, like, looking back at who Umeno was, and who he is this year, like something's not right with that boy.
Oh, yeah, he's half the man of first part of this year, last year versus this year.
Yeah, yeah, because he was just a beast, especially with runners in scoring position last year. And this year, he has been far from it. He actually threw like 80 at-bats, had 10 double plays. Fortunately, since then, he has zero, which is nice. But, you know, it's still a very disturbing number. Okay, the infielders. What kind of grade do you give these guys?
And if we're talking the whole team, all of them,
yep,
then I have to give them a B.
We're pretty close in this case. I've got them at a B minus, and what I said was it really depends on who's playing where, because we've had a lot of variation in the infield with the infield four, right? The only one that's been by and large the same all season is Nakano at short, right?
And even he has had some subs.
Yeah, yeah, not very many though. I mean, he's played in every single game. He's been the starter every single game. He's been subbed out a couple of times, but for the most part, the others have been shuffled quite seriously. And that would include Sato, who has been third base. He's been, you know, bouncing between third base and right field.
Right. And Itohara's been bouncing between second and third.
Yes.
And Yamamoto's been filling in wherever he can, all over the diamond. And
then Oyama was in third, was punted to left field, and now he's firmly entrenched at first base, where I think he's been quite good on defense. I think really our
I think you leave him there.
Has been pretty good outside of Itohara's poor range. I think that the infield defense is strong.
Yep.
So the B minus for me comes from, well, if we had to say on defense, it's Itohara and nobody else who's not doing the job. And then just as far as the hitting goes, it's just been way too inconsistent. I mean, you know, you're getting production from Oyama, especially in June. You're getting decent production. You know what you're going to get from Nakano. You're not going to get a ton of walks, so you're not getting a high on-base percentage. You're not necessarily getting a lot of those long at-bats where he's, you know, slugging it or duking it out. But you're still getting a pretty decent average, like around 270-ish, 280, and a lot of speed. So I like that. How about the outfielders? What's your grade for them?
So outfielders, I think, are not pulling their weight. I'm going to be... again, B minus, C plus.
Oh, I've got them at a B minus, and that is mostly because of how good Chikamoto has been this
season. Yeah, he's just single-handedly lifting the whole group.
Yeah, so the one thing that I don't want to say he needs to work on, because I'm no expert or I'm no one to say that anyone needs to work on anything, but his arm is not that great as far as just throwing guys out or being able to hold guys on base. But his range in center is second to none. And then at the dish, I mean, he's leading our team in on-base percentage. He's near the top in stolen bases. He's getting the extra base hits finally. But the 23 straight games with a hit is also just unbelievable. And then Shimada has actually been pretty close to a solid everyday player. He's still not, I don't think he's still there where we want to ride him for the rest of the season. But right now, for lack of better options, he's the guy. But I would say like Rojas has been really disappointing. Itoi has been pretty sporadic. And then Onodera and Takayama, I think they had their chances, but they just couldn't get it done. And so what I wrote in my notes is we need another Sato. We need two Satos out there. We need one at third and one in right at the same time.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with needing that and wanting that. And if we can get him, awesome. How's your cloning abilities?
Yeah, I'm working on it actually. So, you know, when I do get around to it, if it's, you know, maybe around the year 2040, we might be able to do it. But unfortunately, by then, Sato will be 45 years old. Okay, let's move to the pitching side of things. What is your grade for the starters?
Well, if by starters, you include Mr. Aoyagi, he of the 8-1 stats for the year. A.
Pretty good, eh? I agree with you. I'm giving them an A as well. They are, I think, exceeding expectations. You know, we got Aoyagi, Nishi, the Yuki, and Ito, who have been legit all-stars. I mean, you know, we're talking like they could probably anchor any rotation in Japan, or at least be a solid, you know, front-end rotation for any team. And then guys like Wilkerson, Gunkel, and Junya have really exceeded expectations. And I know Junya has been kind of, you know, fatigued a little bit lately, so he got deactivated, and somebody's going to spell him. It's Saiki for now, but we've got Saiki waiting in the flanks. We got Fujinami, who's trying to get back up into the rotation. We got Murakami, who has been just, you know, anchoring the farm rotation and is just raring for a chance. And then what about Akiyama? I mean, when he comes back from injury, he's another legit guy for our rotation. So how can you not give them an A? I love it.
Agreed. And I think they even mentioned that Kirishiki is chomping at the bit to get back up to the top squad.
There you go. Yeah. And also Suzuki got a start down on the farm. I don't think it went super well, but he's another guy that is primed to be in there at some point as well. So there's lots of good arms down on the farm, which is, I guess, in part, one of the reasons that we were willing to part with Chen.
Yep.
That's actually what they'd said to him. They said, look, like, we just don't see you getting a chance in the rotation on the top squad. And he kind of agreed and they set him free. Okay, let's move on into the bullpen. What kind of grade do you have for our guys coming in on the car every night?
So again, looking at our ERA and what we've asked them to do, I'm at an A- for the bullpen.
We match. This is amazing.
Hey.
I'm also an A-, and I've only got 5 words for the bullpen. Just miss Suarez so much. Like, that's not to take anything away from Iwazaki as a closer, or, you know, Keller has really turned the corner as well. And then just pretty much any guy that you put in, you can count on, or you can expect, or you won't be surprised if they put up a 0.
True.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not going to put up a 0 every time, but I mean, we had, like, Yuasa had a 16 game streak of not allowing a run. Alcantara had like a 12 or 13. Iwazaki had a 13. So all these guys are just putting up bagel after bagel after bagel. I mean, you just can't ask for more from these guys. So I'm giving the A- and just saying there were a couple of games where late, if we'd had that Robert Suarez there, we would have had more W's than we have.
Yeah.
Or fewer L's. One of the
fewer L's.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's give some special gold stars to some of our guys. I want to give one to the hitter of the first half, the starting pitcher of the first half, and the reliever of the first half. So we've thrown around some names here. So obviously none of this is going to be a big surprise to any of our listeners, I don't think, but who have you got as your hitter of the first half of 2022?
So I have 2, and I can say one and you can say the other, or you can start and I can follow up.
Okay. You can go first.
Okay. Low hanging fruit. I'm going to go with the guy who's hitting 386 for the month of June. And he's just had a 23 game hitting streak. And he's just like, he's been pulling his weight since the start of the season this year, as opposed to previous seasons when they said he was a slow starter. So Chikamoto, he's my man. If he can't do it, nobody can.
Yeah, nothing wrong with those numbers he's putting up. And he is definitely in contention for the batting title in the Central League this year. And the thing is, like, he tends to get better as the year goes on. And that's not to say that he has to this year. Oh, we'd love for it to happen. But I think he's currently batting, what, 301, 302?
301, yeah.
Yeah, and then last year he batted like around 312. So he's got a ways to go before he gets to that number. But he's certainly just right up there. And I just think that he's developing well as a hitter. I mean, he's starting to take a few more free passes, watching a lot more, and just seems to have a good head on his shoulders to be a guy that we can count on for years to come. So I've got no beefs with your choice there. I'm actually not even going to go with the other hitter who's been red hot this month and the guy who leads our team in OPS, and that would be Oyama. But I will say this, he definitely gets the honorable mention for his total of 18 home runs, 56 RBI, an OPS of 864, and a RISP. And keep in mind, this is a guy that hovers around 200 in most years, a RISP of 289. So he's actually starting to come through when we need him, which is quite nice. But I'm actually going to go with our man, my man, Sato. He is actually on pace for way fewer home runs than, I shouldn't say way fewer, but fewer home runs than last year. I think he's on pace for, maybe about the same. He's got 13, so he's maybe on pace for 25. And last year he hit 24. But the thing that really impresses me is the fact that he has, again, he's got like a boatload of extra base hits because he's got 21 doubles plus 3 triples. And so you look at his 79 hits, which I think is good for like fourth or fifth in the Central in hits. And pretty close to half of them are extra base hits. You also look at his strikeout numbers, and yeah, he's got 71, which I think might even be good for tops in the CL. But we look at his crazy record smashing 173 from last year versus just 25 walks. And this is a different man. I mean, he's already got 27 walks this season. So he's on pace for over 50. And just the way that he's turned around that ship, the thing that I think is going to make a big difference for him is that we just need to get another bat in the lineup that is going to provide that extra, I guess, protection, if you will. I mean, like, he does have Oyama behind him right now, but I think with that one extra bat in the lineup, pitchers are going to have to be a little bit more honest with him, and that's going to result in his home run numbers and his overall numbers going up even further. I expect a good second half out of him, where last year he had a really poor second half.
Well, well done, Mr. Sato.
Indeed. Okay, starter of the first half. Okay, I'm going low-hanging fruit this time. Aoyagi. He's the only one. I mean, yeah, we do have some amazing pitchers this year, but Aoyagi's numbers, if you don't mind, let me rattle off just a few here. He started a little bit late, right? So yep. He's got 11 starts. And even though he started late, that still leads second on the team behind Nishi, the Yuki. 8 wins, 1 loss, 10 quality starts out of those 11. He's also got 84 innings pitched in those 11 starts. So he's averaging like closer to 8 than 7. So let's say 7 2/3 per start.
Yep.
Other teams are batting .205 against him. He's got a whip of .88, which is best on the team as far as starters go. I think he's leading the Central League in wins. I believe his ERA is still tops with 1.49. I think he might even be darn near the top in strikeouts with 76. So Aoyagi is the pitcher of the first half for me. Have you got anyone else that you want to just throw out there as an honorable mention?
Well, I mean, my choice was Aoyagi as well at the top. So there's no argument there.
No.
If you really wanted to, then I'm thinking maybe Mr. Ito Masashi, who you might have a little bit more insider knowledge on. But man, even before that, just imagine if Aoyagi was able to be our opening day starter, how different this season would have been. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I know we don't want to go there. I stop right here.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, speaking of Ito, his ERA is 2.15, and that's only good for third on the team in starters, right? Because Nishi's got a 1.99. So we can't ignore Nishi as well in this conversation. He's just been everything that we wanted him to be last year. And if he had been this Nishi last year, we would have won the pennant. Not that I'm pinning the blame on him for us not winning the pennant.
Okay. So according to what I've read, it was because he was somewhat injured last year.
You know, I speculated that all along. I think I tweeted out a couple of times. I definitely talked to my man Zorny, right? Zorny, we talked about this privately. Yep. We said there's something there. There's an injury there. Okay. Who is your reliever of the first half of 2022?
You know, I'm going to man who got his first win the other day, Mr. Yuasa.
That's a good call. I don't see anything wrong with that choice. He currently has an ERA of 1.67, 1 win and 2 losses, but he has 30 strikeouts in 27 innings, and he has a 1.11 whip and has just been everything that he wasn't last year. But again, this is a guy that we're drafting out of actually not even industrial leagues. He was playing independent ball or what is it? The BC League he was playing.
BC League, yeah.
Yeah. And so very low expectations, very unheralded. And he's just come in and been the 8th inning man that we have needed. So yeah, good call. I actually had him penciled in as mine as well. But just for kicks, I'm going to give you another name. A guy that doesn't get mentioned nearly enough, and that would be Hamachi, whose ERA is 1.8 right now. And he has thrown in 21 games, which I think is far and away his career high. So this is another guy that's kind of having a breakout season. Pardon me, he had 21 mounds in his very first season as a top squad guy. But that season, his ERA was 6.11. So a 1.8, much better, much better. Okay, lastly, who have you got as your key hitter for the second half? Who is it that you think needs to come through in order for our team to ensure itself a playoff spot and maybe even take that miraculous run at the pennant?
So this is going to be a bit of a low-hanging fruit comment, but I really think that if Mr. Satoteru, Terry Teraki, can sort of regain his first half of last year's form, we can go a long ways.
So he had 19 home runs, I think, in the first half last season. And then he had only 5 in the second half, many of which came in the first few games of the second half. I think he had 2 like in the final like 50 games of the season or something. So yeah, that's a good call. I won't disagree with that, but I'm actually going to put this one on the import position player. No matter who it is that gets into the lineup, I have a feeling that that's the one thing the team is lacking, right? Because as I've said several times already in this show, right? The last time anyone other than Sato or Oyama has hit a home run, it's been forever. So Marte, if he comes back, he's the key guy if he gets into the lineup and gets regular playing time. If it's A-Rod Rodriguez, then it's him. If Rojas, by some miracle, actually gets, you know, regular playing time, then it's him. But we just need that extra beef in the lineup. We've got a ton of speed, but we need a little bit more power threat in order to just produce the offense. Because there's some days where you can't piece together 3 hits to score that run or whatever. You just need that one swing of the bat to give you a couple of runs or whatever. And it just hasn't happened nearly often enough this season, especially in the past month. So that's who I've got. The Gaijin is my answer. Who is your key pitcher for the second half?
Well, I'm not trying to riff on what you just said, but I'm thinking how cool it would be if we get Dr. KK, Mr. Kyle Keller, to come in and really be lights out, shut down reliever guy in the second half.
I promise you, me and Sanjay, we're not trading notes before the show, but I've got the same guy down in my notes.
Okay, cool.
It's not even like I wouldn't even say that's like, yeah, a no-brainer choice, right? I mean, this is kind of like a little bit of an oddball choice, but Keller, since his return, has allowed just 1 run, and it was actually on a couple of kind of cheap hits. I mean,
cheap hits yeah.
But still. But he's also just had a crazy strikeout rate. Like, his strikeout rate on the season, this includes his early season sputter, but it's 18.0. And I think it's probably been that. Like, I think it was that when he got farmed, and then since he's come back, it's 18.0. In other words, he is striking out 2 out of every 3 batters that he's getting out.
Dr. KK.
Yes, indeed. And so he has brought his ERA down to 7.71, which still sounds awful, but remember it was 33.25 just a couple of weeks ago.
Ouch.
So I really think like it's high time that they use him in higher leverage situations, because I think he's earned it. And I think that he's just got it now. I mean, he doesn't even look like the same pitcher. Guys are struggling to keep up with his fastball. And when he throws in that curve, and he's got a couple extra pitches that he's kind of picked up as well, he's just a force. So you put him into that winning combination, you can pull out, just for example, right, Alcantara or someone else. If by some miracle Keller ends up the closer again, you know, then Iwasaki goes back to the 8th inning or whatever, and Yuasa is the 7th inning. That's a lethal combination right there. That's going to get us a ton of wins. So I got him as my key as well.
Cool.
All right. Let us look at the schedule coming up over the next 2 weeks.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen with the record
going to be? So we have got a bunch of road games here, my man. And I don't know how it's going to go down, but we are on the road. Probably by the time you hear this, we are in Yokohama playing the Bay Stars for 3. And then we've got the Dragons for 3 in their dome. Then we get to face the Carp at home. And then we go on the road to face the Swallows. So we're great in Yokohama. We're terrible at Vantoline. We're terrible against the Carp. And everybody's terrible against the Swallows. Not that I'm trying to lead you into a prediction of a very poor record, but what are your thoughts?
So I was just doing the mental math on each of the individual teams, and the best I can come up with is another 7-5.
The best meaning the most optimistic, or?
Yes, the most optimistic.
Okay. So I'm not even sure what to make of this, but I'm going to say, honestly, like, if we can kind of turn the ship around against the Carp, I think that a lot of other things are going to go our way. Interestingly, so I think we can quite easily go 2-1 against the Bay Stars, if not better. We don't face Imanaga or Hamaguchi, but we are going to face Onuki, who's fairly good. But still, it's Yokohama. Oyama's hot. Sato loves that ballpark. I think we are going to win minimum 2 of 3 there. We're facing the same 3 pitchers for the Dragons, presumably, as we did just this past weekend when we swept them. We got 22 runs against them at Koshien. How many do you think we're going to score at Vantaline against those same 3? I mean,
you got to discount it by at least 50%, if not more.
Yeah, I know. Like, if we reach double digits in runs, maybe that's victory right there. And that's sad, but it's true. It's reality. The Carp, we're just going to have to beat. And again, I think we are going to be avoiding Osera and Morishita. But it does mean that we're probably going to be facing the same guys that got our number in Hiroshima. And that would include Tokoda, who is just, I don't know, for some reason, he is just really, really good against us. So I'm going to say that is going to be our tough series, even though it's the only one at home. And the Swallows are worse at home than they are on the road. The only bad news about that is they are excellent on the weekends. And I think it might have to do with the pitchers that they put in there. But I guess my hope is, did you see what happened with them and the Giants this past weekend?
It was like feast or famine, right?
It was just feast. And like, it was the biggest heavyweight battle that I've ever heard of between two teams in NPB over the course of a 3-game series. So the Swallows won the first game of this one, 16-6. Then they lost the second one, 19-5. And then they won the third one, 11-10. And it was just home run after home run after home run. And so my hope is, this is again, T-Ray's hope. Somebody other than Sato or Oyama gets a home run against the Bay Stars, wakes up the bats. We do enough against the Dragons and Carp, and we still have enough in our bats, like that good feeling, to put a beat down on the Swallows at Jingu, where they're prone to give up home runs. And all sorts of crazy stuff always happens at Jingu when it's Tigers and Swallows. So I'm looking for us to go 2-1 in that one. And so what does that give me for record? I'm going to still say 6-6.
All right.
All right, well, thank you all for tuning in to H10. I hope you enjoyed our mid-season report card, as well as just the full report on everything that is new with the Hunting Tigers. If you haven't gotten your fill, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/thehuntingtigers. All the great benefits are there. Check out our website, check out Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook as well. All those details are in the show notes. And I think myself and Sanjay are going to be doing a little post-show show in just a bit, so you can check that out on the YouTubes. Special thanks to Silent Partner for the theme music and Show for mixing the show. Can't do this without you, man. All right, everyone. Catch you next time. Go Tigers!
Go Hanshin!